So I'm not going to have you turn to this chapter, but I want to put you to put in your notes in your mind was the story of where the prayer came out of. Is actually we're going to read the rest of Psalm 56 in a moment. But this story comes out of a situation in 1 Samuel in 21. It was a situation where David had already he had defeated the giant by this time. He had married the king's daughter. There was trouble in the house. We know that David had been successful as a general, and the people loved David. They were saying Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul would get jealous. And Saul was also known to be king, but his jealousy and his would get the best of him at times. His anger and his jealousy. And he tried to kill David a number of times. And he even threw a sword at his own son, Jonathan, for taking up for David in one place. The chapter before is at 1 Samuel 20. But in Samuel 21, David is on the run. Trouble had erupted in the home. And David is on the run. He's running for his life. Saul has sent an army after him. They're searching the lands for David. And David is fleeing for his life from Saul, a father figure in his life who would come in as a father figure and then turn on him and fail him and attack him. And then they would come together again and then fall apart again. And just that's sometimes family. We come together, we fall apart, we come together, we fall apart. But God's graces can be sufficient for us. But in 1 Samuel 21, we see that David came into a city, and there was a priest there by the name of Ahimelech. He was the priest in this certain city. His name means the brother, my brother is king. So he was, his name had significance that he was positioned by one in authority. Positioned there alongside one who had dominion. And David came and found himself in the city. This priest was afraid. He says, "Why are you coming by yourself?" And David said, lied basically, and said, "I'm on a secret mission from the king, and nobody's supposed to know about it. So I'm coming through quickly and quietly. So keep your mouth shut because it's a secret mission from the king." You will find the humanity of David in this. Now remember, David had the heart of God, but you will find the humanity of God, of David here. So David comes into this place. His first thing was to lie that I'm on a secret mission, but he's lying to the one whose name means I'm my brother is king. Now David is hungry. He asks, "Do you have some food here that I can eat?" And David asked for food, and they said, "No, we have no food. The only food that we have is the showbread, the holy bread. We have 5 loaves of holy bread." The showbread, it was sanctified bread that had been placed in the tabernacle, in the inner courts. Each Sabbath, they would place 12 loaves in the inner courts. There was the menorah on one side, and this the middle chambers. The menorah, the altar incense, and then the table of showbread. And they would have 12 loaves, the government of God there, the bread of life there. There was always in the presence. These loaves were also called the loaves of the bread of faces, or the bread of his presence. Because he was always supposed to be in the presence of God. This bread was like a term or a gift for God, which is an ancient thing for all deities back in their time. But in the case of the Jews, it was a holy bread loaf that they would present to God. They were a gift to God. But they were always in the presence of God. And so they were called the bread, the loaves of his face, or presence. Bread of his face, or bread of his presence. And the only ones who could eat this bread were the priests. In fact, the only one who got 5 loaves was the high priest. And the rest of the priests would divvy up the rest of the 12. So there's all kind of numbers that mean things in the Old Testament scriptures that are significant. We understand by the time we get to the New Testament, 5 is grace, right? We understand 12 is government, the government of God. But all they have, he said, all we have is this holy bread. We have 5 loaves of holy bread. And David said, "Well, I would like those, please." And, only the high priest gets these 5. And it's only holy bread. It's not normal common bread. And so the priest asked him, he says, have you kept yourself clean from the touch of a woman? Or have you forsaken earthly desires? And David said, of course, that's what us soldiers do. We're out on the battlefield, we are clean. We haven't given ourselves to anything. We are on a purpose, he said, and specifically on this special mission, I'm clean. And so he was granted the ability to eat of the holy bread. Now this bread can only be eaten in a holy place because it's holy bread, eaten by holy men, sanctified men. So the grace of God was sufficient, even though he's running from his life, he's in fear, he's lying, God allows him to eat of the high priest's bread in the presence of the king's brother. This is ministry. You and I, the Bible says, are seated in heavenly places. Yes, we are seated with Christ Jesus now in heavenly places, the word says. Not someday, now. When you become a saint of God, when you give your heart to God, he covers you with the blood. You are washed and made white as snow. You are positioned alongside him as a fellow brother. You are adopted into his kingdom, into his family. You are now a son of God and not just a servant. And you are a fellow heir with Christ, the Bible says. Seated in heavenly places. You have to see yourself that way, church.
Come on.
Don't see yourself as meek, lowly. Devil's got the upper hand. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
That's what he says. That's what he makes it appear as. But you are seated in a heavenly place. When you are a child of God, you have authority. You have favor. You have some things working on your behalf. You got grace working on your behalf.
Yeah.
He is positioned now in the tabernacle where the holy priests are, eating of the bread of the high priest alongside the high priest, His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And he is our brother.
Amen.
This is the priesthood. And the priesthood is reluctantly, they're fearful, but they're ministering to this man in need, and they're extending grace. Come on, minister, you that are ministers, you need to extend, learn how to extend grace. We're not going to say, well, this is just holy, only us ministers. No, God says it's available to all. He died for all, that all might come to salvation and the knowledge of the goodness of God. We all have the opportunity to eat of the bread of life, the Bible, the Word of God. It's available for all of us. The government of God is there. The authority is in His Word. Hallelujah. His life is in His Word. His grace is in His Word. And He wants us to partake of it.
Yeah.
And so He's strengthening Himself. He's running for His life. Time to lie and get through some things. But now God's grace is being extended. He's sitting with the brother of the king. He's eating the holy bread. The high priest is saying, okay, you can have it. Because every 7 days you're trained out. Fresh bread. That's God. You know, you can preach this word. And I've been in ministry my whole life pretty much. And I've touched on things throughout my life of word. And I've seen other ministers. And it just seems like there's no end. You can keep preaching and preaching. Because every week God's word gets fresh. He puts a freshness on it.
Yes,
and that's what those are types and shadows of their tabernacle in his presence. That the bread keeps getting refreshing and then you can partake of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
The next thing he asks, he says, hey, don't you guys have any weapons around here? A spear, something? And a sword, something? You guys just serve God. You don't really protect us. I need some weapons or something. And the priest said, you know, all we have is one sword. And it just happens to be the sword of Goliath, whom you slew at Elah. It's kind of covered in some cloth behind the ephod. You know, the scripture says, the priest says behind the ephod, all this stuff. Ephod was part of that breastplate, you know, that they wore. Like, how's his big old sword? I don't know. But he said it's behind. But the ephod represented the tribes that God loved. He said, there's a sword and it belongs to your great enemy, the one you defeated already. Wow. You know, sometimes in your troubles, you need to be reminded of your victories and how much you've overcome.
Yeah.
The next time you're running for your life and you're feeling down and you're talking to God and he says, hey, I want to give you something. I want to remind you something. Here's that. Remember when you defeated alcoholism? Here's that sword again. Hey, remember when you overcame this addiction? Okay. I want to remind you, this is the sword you carry. You defeated some things in your life. What are you doing running afraid? You've got sword and I've reserved it. Out of all the places you you could have showed up. You showed up with the sword of the one you've already defeated. Hallelujah. That empty cross, we don't really have crosses around in this building too much, but that empty cross is a representation of victory, that the giants in your life have been defeated. So when you ask for a weapon, God is going to give you one of the greatest weapons, your testimony. You know, you get the revelations. There was a company of people coming, and the man of God who was having a vision said, "Who are these?"
That's right.
And he said, "These are they which have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and did not care for their life, whether they died or they lived. These are the overcomers who are coming through."
Hallelujah.
And you know one of their weapons? The word of their testimony. That's how you defeat the enemy. Every time the enemy comes, you say, "Nah, God's been good. You don't realize, you forget." Say, "I should be dead, but I'm not because of him. I should be poor, but I'm not because of him. I see what you're saying, I see what you're doing, and I'm messing some stuff up, but you're defeated already." Let it remind you, you're defeated already. So now you've got some of the high priest bread in him. He's got natural strength. He's equipped with the sword that reminds him, "I defeated and cut off the head of the giant." And he keeps on running. And where does he run? Right to the Philistines. Into King Achish of Gath. Remember Goliath? He was from Gath too. He runs right into the beehive. He runs right into the wasp nest. Carrying the sword of the one he defeated, who was from there. He was Gath's hero. And they recognize him. And they said, "Hey, isn't that the one that looks like David? That looks like the one they see. He slew his 10,000. Hey, we got to turn this dude in. This is the guy. What's he doing carrying? That looks like Goliath's sword. That's our hero sword. And it's the man who killed us." We got to tell the king. So they go to tell the king. The Bible says that David became sore afraid. I don't know, that's King James for very afraid, I guess. Whole body sore, aching, in fear. And so he comes up with another good plan. Now, I don't endorse this, but the Bible says he began to scribble on the gates, scratch on the gates, scribble things on the gates, and he let his spit come out on his beard, and he acts crazy, mumble and talk, whatever, and he's scribbling, and they bring him before the king. They said, "King, we got somebody to show you. There's a man out there. He's not giving us his name, but he's carrying the sword of Goliath, and he looks like David, one of our enemies. Well, bring him in." David comes in, spit coming out. And he's like, "Why do you bring me this crazy man? We got enough fools in this house." And he uses those words. "We have enough fools around here. I don't need another one." I like that. The enemy says, "He's got a lot of fools in this house," and he admits it. See, that king's name means, "I will blacken you or I will terrify you." But the other meaning of his name is, "Just a man." Sometimes the very things that have caused such great fear in your life, when you come down, they're like, "It's just a situation." The man that bullied and has your life in his hand, he's just a man.
Come on.
Sometimes you can't pay it, but it's just a bill. When my house got broken into 5 times, it was just stuff. And God replaced it. You know, I told you I struggle now playing guitar. I've heard of a guitar player doing this. And I love playing my guitar. But my hands cramp up so much, it's hard to sing some of the, especially the faster ones. And I know you Indians like those fast ones. And I'm trying to make you happy, but I'm cramping. I'm hurt when I do that a lot. For whatever reason. But I still praise him. But you won't find me praising him for 20 minutes on that same song. Cameron, so don't call me the Cameron song. So 20, 30 minutes, same song.
All right.
But I like that. His name means, he said, I'm going to tear. And yet there's another part of his name says, but you're just a man.
Just a man.
So the king said, I don't want another fool around here. I got enough fools. Get rid of this fool. David like sneaks out. You know where he runs to? And we're not going to go there. I'm just going to tell you where he went. He snuck into the wilderness to the cave of Adullam. One of my favorite places. That's why this place is called the cave. The cave of Adullam. It is the place, its name means justice of the people.
Amen.
It was going to bring justice to the people. This is where all the outlaws, the in-laws, the scum, the mess-ups, the addicts, they showed up and became the army of God. They came out of there, mighty men of God, mighty men of God. They found him there in the desert place, in the cave of Adullam, the place of the justice of the people. God was going to bring justice to the people who were hurting in a place and said, David, you will be king over these who they looked down upon. They cast them aside. They pushed them aside, said they're not worthy. They're not good enough. They can't join anything else, but they're going to join you. And in a wilderness place, in a cave, I will create an army.
Thank you, Lord.
That will carry you through your kingship. Because I'm not done with you, David. I love that. He was anointed the king, but now he finds himself acting crazy, lying, and running for his life. So, here's the song he sang in this moment in time in his life. Oh, one of the things I forgot. Also present. Who else was present at that place where he showed up to get the bread? There was one of Saul's servants. This is key. You've got to take note. There was one of Saul's servants. He was the chief of the herdsmen. His name was Doeg. Looks almost like dog. D-O-E-G. Excuse me. His name means fearing, anxious, or dread. To be careful, to be dreadful. And he was a killer of priests. He killed this priest that helped Ahimelech. He killed him. He killed a priest. He was a killer of priests. Who was? The one who carried the spirit of fear. And David was battling against that. You know, in 2020, we battle against the spirit of fear in the world. Not only the people out there, but the church was in fear. 2021, that spirit's trying to linger. We're coming back. We got a new delta. Oh, and they're like, ooh, we're going to die. We, church, we're okay.
That's right. That's right.
In time, times get dark. In time get trouble. God shows up in a new way, a new light. Right. Out of that turmoil, God raises something up that is greater. And I'm not belittling. There are sicknesses out there, but we've got AIDS, we've had cancer, we've had everything attack these bodies. This is just another thing. Let's even like he said, it's just a man. It's just another sickness. But we serve a healer. We serve a mighty God. But don't allow fear to control love. I can respect that there are things that destroy us in this world. But that don't mean I walk around in fear. I drive a car. Cars kill more people than anything else, but I drive a car. I carry guns. Guns carry kill a lot of people, but I carry a gun. I carry a knife. Knives kill people. I've had diseases, but God's healed me from all of those.
Thank you, Jesus.
So there are things that are harmful, but don't mean we have to live in fear. We now live in even the church has had to battle against the spirit of fear. It's a ministry killer, church.
Yeah.
Fear is a ministry killer. Fear of the people, fear of governments, fear of lack of finance. If I preach truth, they won't give. Or, you know, there's always these things of fear that's trying to grab hold. This Doeg's always trying to kill the priesthood. Don't allow fear to destroy your ministry, who you are. But David was dealing with that. He's running for life. Remember, he was sore afraid. He's having to battle the spirit of this man, the spirit of fear. And so he comes up with this song in the midst of it. This is what we're going to finish with. And it says in Psalm 56, 1 through 13, it says, this is for the music director. He directs it to the director. He says, sing this song according to the Yonath Elam Roshim style. He said, there's a certain style. We don't know what that style is. But he said, sing it in this style. Maybe he said a rock ballad. I don't know. Maybe he says in a R&B smooth. I don't know. He said hip hop. You know, he said, I want you to rap this. I don't know. But he said, there's a certain style I want you to sing this, movie music director. A prayer of David when the written when the Philistines captured him in Gath. So this is in the midst of him, probably in a cell waiting. He's been acting crazy, but now he's waiting. He doesn't know what the future holds. All he knows is the enemy has surrounded him. He finds himself in the midst of the enemy's camp. His greatest enemies, they have evidence against him. They have him in the bar, you know, encased in the dungeon, whatever. And he's getting ready to meet the king. He begins to pen a song in that moment. He says, have mercy on me, O God. For men are attacking me all day long. Hostile enemies are tormenting me. Those who anticipate my defeat attack me all day long. Indeed, many are fighting against me, O exalted one. If you ever take notice, you'll notice that David always, he'll spell out the problem. He'll write out the issue. He'll write out the problem before he talks about the answer. But he paints a picture of what's going on. Everybody's against me. My enemies are after me. They're anticipating my defeat. They're anticipating me to backslide, to fall down, to make a fool of myself. That's when he comes up with verse 3. But when I'm afraid, I trust you. This is what's going on, God. It's like everything's against me. Everybody's against me. But when I'm afraid, I trust you. My God. He says in verse 4, in God, I boast in his promise. In God, I trust. I'm not afraid. What can mere men do to me? All the day long, they cause me trouble. They make a habit of plotting my demise. Another version says, all day long, they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. He says, they can only think evil thoughts of me. When I come to mind, they only think evil of me.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that a sad place that... Because that's the reality in the world. There's some people they just,
yes.
They see the bad, worse, the bad.
Yes.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Oh, her?
Yes.
You're friends with,
yes.
You go to so-and-so's church? Because all they can think is the bad. He says, all they can think is evil. He said, in fact, they twist my words. They take what I say and they twist it up and make me look bad. All day long they cause me trouble. Verse 6, they stalk and lurk. They watch my every step as they prepare to take my life. Another verse says, they stir up strife. They hide. They watch my steps as they lay in wait for my life. He said, they go around stirring up trouble about me. They twist my word. They go over here, twist my word, and they call people. So when I come into the scene, there's already strife. They're waiting to trip me up. They're waiting to take my life. Because they are bent on violence, do not let them escape. In your anger, bring down the nations, O God. You keep track of my misery. Put my tears in your leather container. Are they not recorded in your scroll? I like that. For some reason, not giving me comfort. I don't know why. But God, you know all about it. My tears, you collected your leather in your satchel. And you have a record, recorded history of my ups and my downs. You know all about it. You keep track of my misery. So do we sometimes, unfortunately. Well, you know, please don't be that person. Please don't be that person, church, that goes around and all you talk about is how bad things are.
Amen.
You carry good news.
Yes, amen.
You got a good God. Don't walk around. You know so-and-so, amen. Don't be that. Hey, church.
Yes.
We are the written epistles of God. We are his testimony. We're supposed to be the testimony of God in the earth, of one who's changed lives, who's transformed and renewed and restored. We are the ones who carry hope because the hope of the world lives in us. We need to change our tune if that's our tune. I'm being a little correct now. Please do not be that church. Be the ones who are carriers of good news.
Amen.
I'm not saying be fake. I'm not saying don't tell, be real. I'm just saying you are representatives of God. If we can, as natives sometimes, when our elders tell us, you represent us, when you go out there, your success at college or the professionals, or when you go, you represent us, do a good job. Don't make us ashamed. Or we tell our kids, you're wildcats. That means something, you know. If we can tell them, represent yourself well, come on, church, can we represent? Can a preacher tell you represent God's kingdom, right? Walk in integrity and dignity and confidence in the joy of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm not there, Pastor. It's available.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Go get some of that showbread.
Yes, sir.
Pick up that sword again of your testimony.
Yes.
Man, I'm down right now, but I haven't always been down. If he was the same, if the Bible says he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if I defeated the devil before with God's help, that means that today I could do it again.
Yes, come on,
encourage. Bible says that sometimes that David had to encourage himself.
Yes.
Well, we don't have service till Sunday. Encourage yourself on Tuesday. If Monday falls out, the bottom falls out Monday, encourage yourself Tuesday. Go ahead and give us calls. Call around. Get prayer. That's biblical. But if you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice your whole ministry, and they're like, I don't want nothing to do with that church. All they talk about is trouble. They always look mad. They always look sad. They look pitiful. What kind of God do you serve?
Come on.
Man, you don't have to have a lot of things to feel blessed.
That's right.
I walked by that little RIP on that car, and I felt blessed that I was alive. For some reason, there's an overwhelming thankfulness. Like, I'm still here.
Come on.
Here I am complaining how hot it is. Praise God, it's a hot day. I'm alive in it.
Yeah,
I'm going to AC. Praise God, there's AC. Find some. He says, my enemies in verse 9 will turn back when I cry out to you for help. I know that God is on my side. My enemies will turn back when they hear me call out to you. Hey, big brother.
Yes.
Heavenly Father.
Yes.
All day they've been picking on me. He said they're going to run when they hear you call out. You don't see this, and you may not know this, but demons fear you. And when you pray and when you worship, you upset their plans. You bring confusion to them in your worship. They're like, why are they worshiping and praising God when we got all this trouble on them? We're poking them and we're tapping them with all these ugly things. And yet it brings confusion to them. And they're like, we're going to get out of here. The anointing's showing up and the anointing breaks every yoke. We got to get away. We can't put this curse on them. They're covered with the anointed one.
Hallelujah.
Woo. They're shining up their spiritual armor of Ephesians. Father, they got the helmet of salvation. We can't even get into their minds and discourage them.
Yes.
We're counting all those shooting fiery darts at them, but their faith keeps shielding them.
Thank you, Jesus.
My enemies will turn back. Remember, he's in a cell. Nothing's changed yet. Other than he has the promises of God on his behalf. And he has the knowledge that God, when I'm afraid, I trust you. Your promises are sure. Remember, he said, I boast in your promises. I trust in you. I'm not afraid. What can men do? In God, I boast in his promise. He says it again in verse 10. In God, I boast in his promise. In the Lord, I boast in his promise. When you start repeating yourself, that means you're getting it into yourself. I boast in his promises. I boast in his promises. I say I boast in his promises. I testify of his goodness. I testify of his goodness. He's getting his mind to believe in now. His mind, his spirit starting to kick in now. But he's having to push it in.
Yeah.
In God I trust. I am not afraid. What can mere men do to me? He repeats that whole phrase again. Just to make sure. I am obligated to fulfill the vows I made to you, O God. I will give you the thank offerings you deserve. When you deliver my life from death, You keep my feet from stumbling so that I might serve God as I enjoy life. Let me read 12 and 13. He said, I am obligated, it's my duty to fulfill my oath to you, God. Part of my oath to you is to give you thank offerings that you deserve. And when you do deliver me from death, he's already speaking out now. He's like, the situation that changed. What about faith? He's already, when you deliver me from this, when you deliver me from this, because what can man do? You're on my side. When you deliver me from this, you keep my feet from, I'm not even going to trip up when I walk out of this prison. I'm not going to stumble on that thing right there. He said, because you've called me to serve you as I enjoy life. I love that victorious mindset. As I enjoy, he said, you call me to enjoy life.
Yes, sir.
Come on. God has called you and I to walk with him. One of the scriptures says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That you have on life, you look at life and you see all the defeats, and that's what you focus on. I've chosen myself to always keep the victory of Jesus forefront, because his victory is my victory. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus today.
Amen.
That's what makes all the difference in my life. Within my own strength, I'm not smart enough, rich enough, handsome enough. But I have enough in my Jesus in my life for me to enjoy life. And to get through life feeling blessed. And like I said at the beginning, even if I fail at everything, I know where I'm going someday. I know who I'll be with. Maybe some of you watching, maybe even some in this room today, don't know. Maybe you're not that confident. Maybe I can't look at life that way. Because you don't know, Pastor, how much I go through. I don't. God does. Like David said, Lord, you keep record of my misery. My tears store up in another container. And you write down. If you don't know Jesus today, you should. I want to invite you just to welcome into your life. It's just a lot easier than you think. See, David simply walked in a place and he asked, can I be fed? I'm hungry. The priest says, all we got is that which is holy, but we give it to you. He said, I am without protection. They said, well, take the sword. If you feel like you have no protection, just invite Jesus into your life and say, Lord, I need some protection. God will be with you. The Bible says he will never leave you. Lo, I'm with you always, he says. Well, I have needs, but he says, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory. I'm in trouble. Well, the Bible says this. It says, whosoever shall call out upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I encourage you, call out to the Lord today if you haven't already. Ask him for a mind that is filled with peace, a heart filled with joy, a life that's been forgiven, sin has been forgiven. Invite him in. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm desperate. I'm hungry. I need help. If you simply just even words. Jesus wants to come into your life, and when you come in, he'll invite you right in and sit you down right with the King. Come on. There's a song I just want to end with today. It's a ministry song that I learned in the Philippines. It's not from the Philippines, it's just that's where I first heard it. There is no problem to me. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. God cannot. There is Bless you. Amen.